This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's a beautiful day. You know I'm lying.
Depends where you are. But yes, it's a beautiful day because we're above ground.
We're above ground. That always makes a difference.
Of course, it is Saturday. Gosh. And I know how much you like Saturdays because you kind of get up, and if you're going to do some business, it's casual business. If you're not, you're going to go around. You're going to see some people, maybe go to the beauty shop, get a haircut, go see some old friends, maybe go visit a job site and kind of go to lunch. It's pretty casual day no matter what you're doing.
But it's a wonderful day.
It is.
I just feel like Saturday has no restraints, you know?
Exactly.
There isn't a definite deal you have to do every Saturday morning. You can just go hang out with friends, family, grandchildren.
Yeah.
You can go to a football game somewhere sometimes.
Yeah.
Or a basketball game. I mean, everything is alive.
Exactly.
You know, and moving, and I love that. And then sometimes the circus comes to town.
Ooh, that's right around the corner.
I know, and everybody loves the circus. We love to go, and they've changed a lot. You know, everything's changing, but we do still have circuses. I don't know how long that'll be, but I think we need to enjoy all that while we can. And the balloon festival that we talked about, that is coming up.
That's right. I forgot all about that. That's next weekend, isn't it?
It's next weekend. It's big. It's going to be wonderful. People need to travel right over to Plano and go to South Fork, see where Dallas was filmed. Then they need to get in line. It takes a little shuttle. Go out there, see all the beautiful balloons, see them lifting off. It's just marvelous. And then you've got all those people that are going to be performing in the air, the parachutists. It's just going to be wonderful.
That will be huge fun. So there's always fun things to do on the weekends.
There is. There's so many things. And then all the little towns, as you know, they have all their festivals. And this is still going on. The festivals won't be finished until probably the end of October.
Yeah.
And then everything will be, you know, quieting down. But there's still festivals. You know, they have peach festivals. They have every kind of festival in the world in Texas.
Yep.
And some things that grow here, you know, I'm always shocked about, because I did not realize, and maybe this is naive, I did not realize that we grew apples in Texas. I thought all apples were grown, you know, in Washington State and Oregon.
Yes.
I've always thought that, you know, because of the weather. And that usually they tell you, you know, that's where they're from. But there is actually people growing apples in Texas. How about that?
I did not know that. I always thought they were like, even up in the Northeast, where it's kind of cold sometimes and a little chilly, like in the fall. I always thought they came from up there as well. But I did not know there was apple orchards in Texas.
I didn't either. So I've learned something new.
Wow.
And, you know, there's always something happening that we don't know about, but I was shocked about that. I just didn't think we had the right weather, you know, for apples.
Yeah.
Because, you don't get all those great apples usually till fall.
Exactly, yeah, when it starts getting cold. And I think that's part of why we associate apples sometimes with fall, is because, you know, you harvest the apples and you make the apple pie, and nothing like the smell of an apple pie cooking in the kitchen in the fall.
Man, you're going to get me hungry.
I heard that.
I'll be thinking about that this morning. So, hot apple pie with some ice cream on it? Yes.
Oh, yes, and a little caramel drizzled on top. Mm-mm-mm.
Oh, my gosh. I've never done the caramel, but I'm always subject to it, you know?
Yes. You need to give that a try this year.
I will give that a try, because when people talk to me about apple pie, you know, anything they can conjure up over it, I'll try it, you know. I don't want to miss out on that.
No, you don't. And apple is the universal pie that goes with just about everything.
Yes, I don't think there's anything it would not go with.
Yeah.
And people should take advantage of it at all times.
Exactly, yeah.
And, well, anyway, well, let's talk about... let's get me off the apples before I do get too hungry this morning.
Yeah.
Let's just give out the phone number.
Okay, let's do that.
Okay, it's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're right next to Ivy Cottage at 3105 Big Spring.
Now, this is all about growing your money so that you can retire. And the goal is to retire happy. You need to retire wealthy. And if you can, you want to retire early if possible. I know a lot of people want to, and that's the goal. A lot of other people say, my goodness, I'm barely going to make it as it is. But you have a lot of clients that actually build their wealth, and they do retire early.
I've had, in the last year, at the end of each year, I've had a lot of people that have retired at 59 years old, which is shocking to me.
Yeah.
And then I've got other people that are retiring at 65, 67. And then I've got other people, in fact, this week I had people here in the office that said, I'm going to retire in 3 to 4 years. So a lot of people, their health is so good, and they're vibrant people, and they're not going to retire, you know, for several more years, and I can understand that.
Yeah.
I had people calling me this week that didn't realize what the requirements were. Somehow, I guess they come in on Saturday morning after we give out this information, but I want to give that out to start with, and we might even say it again during the show. They didn't know that you have to have $1 million in assets without your home, or you have to make $200,000, okay? And so they made like $135,000 and didn't have the assets. So I told them, you know, they could always do an annuity. So, you know, that's what they're saying about now, is gathering up the money to do an annuity. But, you know, I always try to tell people, you know, if you make $200,000 or if you have, you know, net worth of $1 million without your home, you know, you're qualified and you can do this program. Because everybody wants to do this program. Because people are making money, you know, they're averaging about 22-24%, and we've just had a tremendous amount of policies, as you know, come due in the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And we've still got some that are late. That happens all the time. Not every policy is going to come in on time. Not every policy is going to come in early. And so a percent will come in late. But the greater percentage will come in on time, and then the other percent will come in early. You know, I had another one come due this week. You know, last week we had two. This week we had one come in, and it's got two people in it. It's a very small policy. But we did this one in May, and the person has already passed away.
Oh, wow, that was fast.
That was fast, and that can happen. But anyway, this time of the year, we are letting people put more money in their accounts. You know, before the end of the year, everybody says, can I put more money in? Yes, because we've bid a lot of policies in the last 2 weeks. We've bid 25 policies. So I expect to get a great deal of those and get people's investments done. And the people that want to put more money in here at the end of the year, you know, they can now do so. We should have plenty of policies. We didn't. You know, 2 months ago we were struggling because we just weren't getting the policies. And it looks like now the drought is over. We have ample opportunity to get a lot of policies in and to get everybody fully funded. And they can also, I think, put some extra money in now and have extra policies, because I've had a lot of people call and say, you know, can I put some extra money in? So we will be doing that now and increasing their IRAs. Or if it's a joint deal with their wife and they want to put in another $50,000 or $300,000, whatever it is, they can do that now.
So what do you attribute the turnaround to? Is it just happens to be the market right now, or is there any factors?
I think it is the market. I think it is the market. It's turned around. You know, there for 2 months we were struggling for policies. We couldn't get enough, And I talked to everybody in the business, and everybody said, we don't have enough policies right now. And I talked to one of our lawyers that's out of Atlanta, and he called up all the people he knew, and they said the same thing. They just didn't have them. And we've taken on some new providers, you know, even because we needed more policies. And as I said, now we've got 25 that we're looking at very hard, and I feel sure we'll get an awful lot of those. And that's the first time we've had the offers, you know, to buy the policies. As I said, it's been 2 months.
So where do these come
from? It looks like we'll have a lot. These come from people all over the United States. We get a lot of them out of California. We get some out of New York. We get a lot out of Georgia because, you know, that's where our providers live. And Florida also.
So it's really anybody across the country who is looking to sell their policy, but they're not just anybody that's trying to sell. Because I know there's a lot of people that try to sell their policies for a number of reasons. You know, maybe they just want to go travel or whatever it is. These are not those types of situations. You're looking to buy life insurance policies that are from very specific people, and those are people who have been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer.
That's right. If they don't have stage 4, you know, we're not interested. We're interested in helping the people that have a short time to live, that really need to gear up and pay these doctors for all the treatment they're getting. And, you know, now it's like $100,000 a month. I used to say it was $10,000. Then I found out how much it had gone up. And, you know, the really specialty cancer places do charge a lot. And then we've got all these women, and I don't know of any men, it may be true with men, that go to Tijuana. And they take these treatments, and it costs money to go there just like it does here. So those people need to sell their policies also. And the people in Tijuana, I think there's either 3 or 4 cancer places in Tijuana. And those people go there believing that they're going to be cured. And I don't really think so. I think that, from my opinion, it's better over here to get the regular treatments first. And then if you want to go over there, sure. But do everything you can regularly first. And a lot of people, women especially, if they have breast cancer, they don't want to be cut on, so they'll go over there and try to, you know, make it work. And it's just hard to do that over there.
Well, and you've been to some facilities before and talked to doctors, and you understand, you know, a lot of the treatments and a lot of the new technologies and new treatments that are coming on the market. And some of those, didn't you say one of them, the new treatments, is like $1 million?
That one is $1 million, and I don't know of anybody in Texas that's getting it, frankly.
Wow.
It's just come out, and they said right now to do that, it's $1 million. So I doubt if anyone in Texas is going to shell out $1 million. And since it's brand new, the insurance companies are probably not going to cover it.
Is this particular,
even if you have insurance.
Is it one of those treatments that works better than others, or is it still in a trial?
No, it's out of trials, but it's just brand new. I mean, the FDA has just approved it. So it's just been approved. And I think it's mostly up north, as usual, like in New York City and, you know, huge places like that, you know, like at Sloan Kettering and those big hospitals.
Mm-hmm. So when they charge so much, is it just because it is new, or is it more effective?
Oh, they think it will be effective, yes. That's what they're saying. They think it'll be more effective than other types of treatment.
Wow.
But it's just expensive because it costs so much to bring it to market.
And so people who, and obviously that's a rare case where people would you know, take up this kind of treatment, especially that price tag. But cancer treatments itself, like you were saying, about $100,000. So people need to sell that policy because it's a really fast way to get some quick cash to turn the equity around in that policy. Go ahead, sell that thing. And in order for this to happen, there needs to be somebody on the other end of the thing to buy it, and that's where you come in. So you buy these policies, you bid against other companies for these policies, and if you're awarded with it, then that policyholder gets their lump sum of money, and they can go do their cancer treatments, and we obviously hope that they do well, and God bless them, and we hope that they make a full recovery. But now you have this policy, and so you need to do something with it, and so this is when it becomes an investment opportunity.
That's right. Our people are looking for the investment for their retirement accounts, for their regular accounts to make money. And this is a good, solid way to do it because you know in advance what you're going to make. If you do a 24-month policy, we're going to pay you 24%. So the client knows this in advance, what they're going to make. Then if it comes in early, they've just made money quicker. But if it comes in on time, they've made 24. If it's late, they still make 24. Nothing's ever taken away from you. We're not going to change the contract. It's you know, up front, you know what you're going to make. So I think it's a good deal. And if you can make 12% a year, or sometimes you can make 24%. If the policy comes due early, you know, you've made 24% in that first 12 months. Mm-hmm. And I tell people to always go and look at our website there on the left. It talks about our earnings. Click onto that. Look and see what people are earning. Don't just take my word for it. Look at it. Look at the initials. It tells you who made that money, how many months it was, and what their profit was. And you'll see that people are making very good money toward retirement. And as you know, we always say, you know, your money's going to double about every 7 years. And if you just stay with this program, you should have enough money to retire and enough income, you know, interest income to live on without getting into your principal. I don't have anybody at this point that's gotten into their principal. Everybody is living off their interest and doing very well.
So the numbers are there. I mean, people can actually see them. It's you've been doing this for a number of years, and so there's a large amount of historical data to go back and see that, yeah, this is not just a fluke. This is not just a well, maybe this will work, maybe it won't. The track record is there. The numbers are solid. And so when people are looking for opportunities, they may be in like the stock market and they may think, my goodness, it's so up and down and so volatile. And, you know, I could go to bed tonight and be up, you know, whatever percent. And then I wake up in the morning and all of a sudden I've lost everything, kind of like back in 2008. And so what makes a life insurance type of investment, what makes a life settlement so much more, I guess, safer or solid than something like the stock market?
Well, just the fact that you know what you're going to make. Because when you're in stock, you never know. It's a calculated risk every day. You don't know. And I've had a lot of workers lately say, you know, Faye, we've been in the stock market a long time. At our age, we need to get out of the stock market and get into something that we know what we're going to make. That they can no longer take the up and down, because if it went down just before retirement and they lost 40%, they can't afford it. You cannot afford it if you're 60 years old, you know, and just got 5 years to retirement. You've got to be sure you're going to have that money when you need it. And now you may not if you're in the stock market and it goes down. And it's just, we can't predict the stock market. I have no idea what it's going to do day to day. And we can't trust it to always make money.
Well, yeah. So, go ahead.
And so our people have been taking money out, getting ready for retirement, putting it in policies where they know darn well what they're going to make. And they know that if they stay with it, you know, they're going to have income from the interest to live on.
And I
and
know
that's
that
really important to them.
People look at the stock market, and I'm sure one of the big attractions is that, my gosh, you know, things can go down in a hurry, but they can also go up in a big hurry. And so people can make a larger amount fairly quickly if they get in the right situation, if they, you know, if they're doing all the right things, if their broker is upfront with them, if they're actually on the up and up. And so a lot of things have to happen, but people can get a lot of growth very, very quickly in some cases. But it's kind of a trade-off also, because it is such a high risk. Anything can affect the stock market. You know, any kind of worldly event, any kind of, you know, like what's going on down in the Atlantic Ocean now and off the Carolinas. I mean, things like that can affect the stock market. So you never know. And with you know, the high chances of coming up with fast growth in the stock market, you could lose everything. So it's kind of a trade-off with a life settlement. It's really kind of a slow process, and when I say slow, I mean steady, and I mean solid, and I mean it's one of those where, no, you're not going to get that big bang overnight, but you know that it's going to be there, and all you're really doing with this is just waiting for the policy to mature.
That's right. And you don't have to worry. You know it will mature. You don't know the exact date. You think you know pretty close. Lately, we've had a lot of them mature early. But that doesn't mean that every one of them will. It may mean I've got some people right now. Theirs is a year over. So, you know, we have went back. We've looked to see what was wrong with these people and why it might have went over. Because we've done all these statistics to say how many have died of each type of cancer. What percent, you know, died early? What percent died on time? And then what percent were late? And why were they late? You know, we've went back and studied all this. And so, you know, we want to be precise. We can't be exactly precise. But we have it figured out, of course, which cancers are going to come due first. We do know that. And so we're on top of it and trying to make it better every day. So when people do this, they can set back, go on with their job, and not worry about the investment because they know that we will let them know as soon as it matures. We always email people just as soon as we find out it has matured.
So really the biggest thing that people need to learn with this type of investment is patience. That's it.
That's right. You have to be patient. And if it goes over and you're overly concerned, you shouldn't be. Because you know it's solid. Yeah, you know that it's invested in a life insurance policy. They won't take it away from you. They will pay as soon as we turn in a death certificate. They're going to pay. And the insurance companies have got $1 trillion, as I always say, because, you know, they started 200 years ago. Can you believe that?
That's a long time. I didn't realize it had been going on that long.
Yeah, a lot of them started 200 years ago, like Hartford. Hartford just announced they've been in business 200 years.
Wow.
And so a lot of them are 150. I've got some I do business with that are 30 or 40 years old. But they have the track record, and they're AA-rated companies. That means they have a lot of cash. They always have to put up cash against every life policy, every annuity, where they can always have the money. It's not like a bank. A bank doesn't have to put up all this money just because you have deposits. But life insurance companies do. The rules for them are hard, very tough. So that's why we depend on the life insurance companies.
So there's actual hardcore money someplace.
That's right. In all your biggest banks, they bank at the biggest.
Okay.
So, you know, we know we can depend on them, and that's why we always check. Every time we buy a policy, we want to know their rating. We want to know, you know, what they're worth, and make sure it's an A-rated company. And we never do business with a B-rated or a C-rated, even though there's been some policies I have wanted before, but they had dropped to a B, and we couldn't do it.
Hmm. So they were out of the right category and the right class, and so you out.
That's right. We just can't take the risk, and we're not going to. It's just like the other day, somebody showed me an $8 million policy on a guy, and it looked real good. And then I looked at how old he was. He was 88. I go, oh, my gosh, not again. Do not show me an 88-year-old man.
Well, you say this all the time. There's a difference between an elderly person and a sick person.
There is all the difference in the world. We don't want to get caught again. We've already been there, and we've still got three policies that the people are 96 years old,
good
and they're
Lord.
Not dead yet. Oh, yeah. We've got one that is 96.
And they're probably as healthy as a horse, probably going out hiking every day and building things with their bare hands and probably tough as nails.
I wouldn't doubt a darn bit. And this 88-year-old, I was reading his life expectancy and talked about him exercising at home. I go, how dare they send me that? I mean, you know, oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness. That's so far outside of the bounds.
Yeah, we just don't want to get taken in again. I mean, if I get taken in once, I think that's enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when people look at these policies and they say, okay, I understand the severity of stage four cancer and I understand how it works. But when they look at the policy, I'm sure there has to be some little voice inside their head that says, especially the first time investors, they say, now, how do I really know that when you say this is going to be 24 months and the person is probably going to expire within 24 months, how do I know that that's a legitimate, realistic estimate?
Well, they need to read the life expectancy, the doctors that wrote them, and, you know, these doctors have been doing this a long time. You know, Fasano out of Washington, they have the best track record of anyone. 21st Services has gotten where they're a lot better. And that's another thing. We went back and looked to see how many times that 21st Services was right. Now, how many people would have done that? We did. We looked to see how many times Fasano's right. In other words, when Fasano says 18 months, how many times were they right? How many times was it long or coming in early?
So you're actually going back and double-checking the historical data just to double and triple-check what's already happened.
That's right. We want to know how many times were these life expectancy companies right? How many times were they spot on? How many times were they wrong? And how many times were they almost right? And so we're keeping a close check on what the statistics show, where we know, you know, okay, we know this company is right 80%. We know this one's right 78%. So that's what you have to look at. We want to look at all the data and go from there.
That's pretty remarkable that you would go back and do that, because I'm sure a lot of people, if they were in a similar situation, would just say, okay, well, this is what it was at the beginning. We're just going to ride this coattail out and just assume that this is the thing. But no, you're going back and double-checking to make sure that you're still accurate, you're still making right decisions. You're going back and following up on past data to see how it's translating, and that helps you really predict future investments and future policies that may come across your desk.
That's exactly right, and that's what we want to know, is what can we rely on? You know, how's this going to look? And we're on it, and every time I buy a policy, you know, I'm checking and checking and checking. As I said, we have an awful lot that's pancreatic cancer. We all know, other than one time, all the pancreatic cancers have come in early. We've only had one that went late, and I don't know, I don't remember now what the situation was, but it did go over. But all these others, like this week, we had another pancreatic cancer come in, and we just did it in May.
Wow.
And, you know, it was supposed to have been like an 18-month policy. And it was very, very short. 2 weeks ago, one of those was pancreatic cancer. Pancreatic cancer is, not only is it deadly, but you don't live long if you have it.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah, it's a very short term.
So when someone comes to see you for the first time, they come to your office, they sit down, and they say, okay, I have a general understanding of how this goes. And they say, can you show me a policy that's available? And you show them a policy. And I know that the ones that have been investing with you, you know, even after the first or second policy, they understand, they get it, and they're like, okay, this is great. Just put me in it. Let's go. But for the first-time investor who hasn't been there and who doesn't understand the process and doesn't trust the process yet, what kind of information will they get to see?
Well, we're going to show them, you know, a life expectancy on one that we've already done, where they'll understand how it works. We can show them one that we're doing now, or we can show them one that came in and how it came in and how that particular cancer worked. And so, you know, we want to show them something that will cement how the process really works. And we tell them exactly, we lead them through it. You know, the first thing we do is we bid on the policies. We don't get everyone we bid. And then when we get the policy, they go, how do we know it's a good policy? If I bought it, it's got to be. I'm not going to buy some, you know, bad old policy over here.
Well, yeah, and you've
been
doing this.
I mean, we wouldn't make a dime, and you wouldn't either.
Exactly. You'd have been out of business 20 years ago. So
that's right. We'd have been on the road. Yeah.
I know that people, after a while, you know, they're like, well, you know, when you say because I said so, that's good enough, because they've been through the process and they've seen it. But people are going to see things for the first time, page 14, for example. They'll get a chance to see literally everything about the policyholder. It's a very well-informed policy type of investment, and people don't have to be experts in the medical field or doctors. It's in plain English.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we lead them through the process, show them. Then I show them what people have made this year. I go and have Claudia, you know, make me a copy of every policy, the statement, where they can see what the people have made this year. because, you know, that's important. You want to know what everybody else is making.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't mind showing them or telling them. Now then, a lot of people come in, their brother-in-law sent them, and I don't have to do anything. And the brother-in-law is like, he's already gave them everything. He said, this is how much I've made, this is how many policies I've got, and I've been with Faye for 3 years. Well, you know, he isn't going to want me to tell him much because he trusts his brother-in-law. And we have people every week that's recommended. We get more recommendations than anything I've ever seen. Every week, people recommend us. Then we get people off this radio. People say, I've been listening to you on the radio, and I'll go, how long? Well, 3 months, 6 months, you know. But they have been listening for a long time. And then they quit procrastinating, and they come in. Yeah.
Do you find that there's an event that happens? Because I know when we procrastinate, I've been meaning to do some spring cleaning now for 3 years, and I haven't done it. And I go outside, and I look at everything.
3 years?
Yes.
Wow.
I am a classic procrastinator. I do it just like everybody else. And eventually, one day, I'll trip over the lawnmower or trip over something, and it's like, that's it. I can't do it anymore. And then that will be the trigger event that makes me go ahead and finally quit procrastinating and do my spring cleaning. So for something like this, do you find that there is an event that makes people stop procrastinating and really get serious about retirement planning? Or what's that?
No, I think that their wife is after them all that time, and then they're listening to the radio show, and maybe a friend's talking to them about how much they've made, and they finally say, okay, you know, I'm going to take the time out to go meet with Faye. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Instead of just procrastinating every month like they're doing. So then they will finally come and talk to me. It's not an event. It's the wife talking to them. It's the show every week with saying, you know, are you still procrastinating? Are you still out there? Are you listening to us? Well, we know they are. But it just leaves their little head after the show. You know, they intend to. But sometimes they don't get it done.
So,
and this week I had a lot of calls off of the show, and they asked different things, and like the guy that didn't realize how much you had to be worth or make, you know, because he was missing it every week. So we were telling at the first of the show rather than in the middle, and everybody's there for the middle, I think. So he wasn't listening to the first of the show, so he didn't realize he had to make $200,000 or be worth $1 million without the house. So I think that was what was happening.
All right.
So, but now he knows because he talked to me.
Oh, sure.
We'll run down
some of the requirements to be accredited. We'll run down some of those with a few more specifics here in just a few minutes. We'll also run down the risks. We'll also run down some of the most asked questions. That's coming up here in a few minutes. But most of us have a cell phone. Most of us have it right next to us right now. So can somebody call the office at this moment? And when we give out the phone number in about 30 seconds, can they pick up their phone, call the office, and leave a message, and then have you or Claudia or somebody call them back to make an appointment for next week?
They can do that.
Okay.
Yes, they can either do that or write the phone number down and call Monday morning. They can do it either one. But if you're thinking about it now, you might should go ahead and leave word. Call the office, leave word, and say, could you call me back on Monday morning and tell me about life settlements and explain it?
Okay.
You know, I need more explanation.
Because sometimes we need a push.
Sometimes you need a push. And remember, it's $100,000. You can't come in and say, Faye, I have $10,000. I don't have anything that'll work for $10,000. I just don't. I mean, I'm not saying that we're high class. I'm just saying that we have to have people that are accredited. And if you've got $100,000, that means you have emergency money, you have other money somewhere, and we know you'll be safe doing this.
And that's for this particular option.
Yeah,
there
for this particular
options.
Investment. Yeah. If you say I've only got $20,000, you need to talk to us about an annuity, not a life settlement. You're not qualified and you're not ready.
Okay. So for those people that want the little extra push, what's the number they can call right now and leave a message?
They can call 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. 3330. And you can leave word and say, I would like to talk to Faye this week. Can you have her call me back?
Brilliant.
And yes.
And then you will call them back.
I will call them back. I always call people back. Lots of times people are shocked. They said, we did not know it would be you calling back. We thought some underling was going to call. And I have that happen all the time. And I always say, no, I need to be the one to call you back because I'm responsible.
Yeah.
I'm the one that's got to tell you everything and make sure you understand and do the deal.
Excellent. Brilliant. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and every Saturday morning around this time, we always get into trivia, and you bring interesting, fun things to the table. I know we've been talking a few weeks ago about fun things to do on the weekend throughout the fall throughout Texas, but sometimes you talk about trivia, and so what are we talking about today?
Today is trivia, pure trivia. We're going to talk about barbed wire.
Ooh.
In the 1800s. Most people do not know how barbed wire got here. You know,
I don't either.
Okay. It starts out with saying, if you've lived in Texas, you've had your Levi's snagged sometime or other crossing a barbed wire fence.
Boy.
I know I have.
Yes.
You know, I know that out there we'd start to go across the fence, and one of those little barbs would get you, and you got to unhook your pants.
Mm-hmm.
So now everybody is familiar with barbed wire. They think it's been here forever.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. And one time it was called the Devil's Hat Band. A lot of controversy in the 1800s. A lot of bloodshed. There was a lot of fights over it, shootings, death. I mean, when it came, it was so controversial. I mean, it really was. Now, they always say not one person really invented barbed wire. But it was really the idea of Joseph Glidden. He was in DeKalb, Illinois. Now, can you imagine? He asked for a patent in 1873, and his was a double strand of barbed wire. It was called the Winner, and it was the best-selling barbed wire of all time. Well, of course, you know it came to Texas. There was a lot of litigation. It went all the way to the Supreme Court because everybody was claiming they invented barbed wire. And so it went to the Supreme Court to decide, okay, who really invented this wire? And then, of course, the Civil War was just over. Texas regarded it as a Yankee invention. They were suspicious. They didn't want it. They had open range, open water. Cows could go anywhere, so could their horses. And back then, there was no obligation to secure your animals or prevent them from roaming around. The cows had the right-of-way. Can you imagine that?
Really?
They had the right-of-way. And grass and water, you could take it. Just, you know, if your cows went on the neighbors, they could eat their grass, they could get their water. And everybody, the way they kept them out of their gardens, and I can believe this, they used old wood fences or stacked rock. Now, especially in the hill country where you had all those rocks and all the Germans, you know, they would build rock fences. I don't know how many of those you've seen. I've seen an awful lot of them in my lifetime. And as the frontier was going west, they were trying to solve it. You know, how do you hem up one's livestock, and do you want to? Well, it was in all the newspapers carried this every week. And the plain states, everybody was talking about, you know, political, economic, what are we going to do? And so then they made a commercially viable patent for barbed wire in 1874. And so then the settlement of the country forever changed. Barbed wire, it demarcated the land, it disrupted the culture, the movement of the Indians, and the buffalo. They depended on it. It ended all the cattle drives that we've known about in Texas that were so famous. And it became bloody over land use, ownership, and fence cutting. Everybody had wire cutters in their saddlebags. Yeah. And so the notion of a cloned rage finally took hold. So they were required to keep their livestock on their own property. Well, and then individual counties said, we're going to vote on it, on whether we're going to have open range or closed range. And, of course, there's no listing of all the counties or partial counties that did this. And even now, it isn't mandated except around state and federal highways.
Really?
But you can still have open range on your farm-to-market roads in Texas.
Really?
That's that's why cars every once in a while hit somebody's cow and kill it. Yeah. Now, turkeys, wild turkeys, they can go free, but not everywhere. Hogs can have free range during late fall and early winter, as long as the county has voted on it. Can you believe this?
No, I actually can't.
Yeah, in 1918 in Fannin County, they voted to prohibit horses, mules, jacks, and jennies, and all cattle from running at large. Then they thought about it, and they said, let's have a second election, and thus prohibit hogs, sheep, and goats. But was it really close range? 99 years later, the county's range status remained murky. Whether everything had to be fenced or whether you still had free range. And there was a lot of opinions. So it recently became an annual Fannin County condition. And they've been repeatedly asked, is Fannin County open or closed? The Attorney General said it's closed. But it's not always the truth. So there's still places like Presidio in South Texas, Jeff Davis, which you know where that is, where the fences fall away and drivers must watch out for all the cattle that wander across the road. And even though barbed wire does crisscross our state, it's been litigated, it's been surveyed, it's been fought over, but the old cedar post fences, some of them have been here 100 years. And like in Marfa, they went to metal fences because they won't burn in a fire. But most of them, there are 1,000 different ways to build a barbed wire fence. And it's all depending on how many strands you're going to have.
Man, who knew there was so much controversy over barbed wire?
I don't know, because people nowadays don't know what the state went through to make this work.
Yeah. Wow.
And it comes on a spool. They roll it out a quarter of a mile is the way they do it. It's done every quarter mile section. And now they use air compressors and rock drills and pneumatic post drivers. But most folks use a straightforward basis. Gloves, pliers, wire cutters to make a hole in the rock. The post hole diggers, they get in soft ground if they can. And they ram the steel tubing down there, and then they're going to put concrete in there. But a lot of people use smooth wire if they've got horses and all this. But most of them have got a three-strand fence. I've never seen one that only had two strands.
Oh.
And, of course, if you get that barbed wire stuck on you, it hurts. And you might say something bad. You know?
You might say something bad.
Yeah. Oh, me. And this guy, this surveyor, says the way he does it, he gets his binoculars or a surveyor's transom, and he lays out orange flags every 600 feet. And I've never even seen it done that way. I've just seen it the old-fashioned way. And he says you've got to get the right-of-way cleared, with a dozer, then it comes the bracing, and the steel brace is in the shape of an H. And they concrete it, they anchor the fence, that's just the starting point. And then they've got to stretch these braces out and form a triangular. And they have to do it just right, according to him. It needs to be as straight as you can get it. And if you get it out of line, the fence will pull against itself. But if the brace straight, all that tension will be in one line and it'll stay straight. Now, can you believe all that? Can you believe there's that much to putting up a dadgum fence?
I had no idea. I mean, I knew you dig the hole and you put the thing in there, but my goodness, to dig it and put it up is insane. And then to get to the fact that we're able to do this with barbed wire is also crazy.
Well, and they usually have a crew of three or four men. And they can do a quarter of a mile a day That's not very much.
No, I mean, I can drive down the road and I can see this, I can see barbed wire fence for miles and miles, you know, 10, 15, 20 miles, you know, in one run. And it's like, that's just one side of it. You've got, you know, at least two more sides, if not a third, somewhere along the way. So it's got to take forever. I've never, you know, put it up before, but I would imagine it's got to take a very long time.
He said when he first started out as a young man, it took a crew a year to build 24 miles of fence with hand tools.
Yeah.
They didn't have any fancy tools.
I don't doubt that at all.
And then you'd go to the mountains, and West Texas mountains, and can you imagine how long it took in the mountains?
Yeah, I can imagine.
And he said the hands would get disenchanted. Going up the side of a hill, they'd start quitting. You didn't have any help. You couldn't do it. You'd go back to town and try to get some college boys. And those college boys, they wouldn't last but a day.
Yeah.
You know?
They get their pants stuck, and they're like, nope, I ain't coming back.
That's right. And they said, the heat is your friend.
Really?
This guy said he did most of it himself. He said it just wasn't anybody good enough. They'd do it wrong. He'd have to do it over. And this Spanish guy is very famous in West Texas for doing this. And one Saul Ross University student, he hired to work with him. He lasted one whole day. And he slipped off the ranch in the middle of the night, never to return and never to be seen again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and that's just how it works. It's so hard. Even now, with good tools and automatic things, and getting the fences straight, that these boys were dismissed or they ran away, and you got to have some dedicated guys to do this. And I don't think the young guys are much use in fence building.
No, I would say not. You got to almost have some special pants and gloves to be able to put this stuff up, because obviously it's made to stick people who aren't wanted inside, or to keep animals in. And so, well, I would imagine without, you know, some kind of protection or you know, being careful, at least you stick yourself a million times, and yeah, I'd take off too, never to be seen again.
Oh yeah, they're just not up to that. You need some middle-aged guys that have been around a long time and they've done this before. You know, you need just old hard workers is what you need for this. You don't need these young kids, because they get stuck in that barbed wire, they're out of there.
Oh, yeah.
They're running.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and they don't care how much you're paying them. But all these big old ranches, a lot of that fence gets down, it gets old, the old cedar posts are rotten out, and so then they decide to build new fences. And it's a hard back work deal, because you've got to have a little caterpillar out there. You've got to have all kinds of equipment nowadays to do this, and then you've got to roll out the barbed wire every quarter of a mile.
Wow.
And so it's interesting that in Texas, you know, they had fights over it, they had killings over it. Everything happened in the world because these people were not going to have fenced range. They were going to have open range.
Yeah, and I remember, well, there was this one time when I was young, when you know, cattle was out running wild. My dad came home one night, and he had a dent in the side of the door of the car, and he said, "Come out and look at this." And so we all went outside, and we saw this dent in the side door, and we're like, "How did you do that?" And he said, "I hit a cow." He said, "We're like, how did you hit a cow with the door?" And he's like, "Actually, the cow hit me." He says the cow ran into the side of his car while he was driving.
Yeah, the cow was on open range.
Yeah,
and he'd been crossing there for a long time. And he started to cross, and that, by golly, there was a car.
Yeah, boom, went right into it.
Yeah. And, you know, on a lot of the roads in South Texas especially, the deer cross there all the time from one side of the road to the other.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And a lot of people have up signs on the highway, deer crossing, you know. So and some say cattle crossing.
Yeah.
Those cattle are going to cross from one side to the other.
Wow.
Most places do have them fences, but a lot of places still don't.
Wow.
And there's no law says you have to have them except on federal highways and a state highway. Now, regular highways, no, you don't have to.
No idea.
They can just run free. No, a lot of people don't know that.
Wow.
So that's one thing from the 1700s and 1800s that is still with us and very viable today.
Yeah, no doubt. Wow.
Yeah.
Massive and, history of barbed wire.
Yeah, and they invented many kinds, and now they have smooth wire, and then they still have the old wire, you know, to keep things in.
Well, you know, next time I pass a barbed wire fence, I'm going to take a look at that a little bit closer next time and just kind of appreciate where it all came from.
Yes, and appreciate the guys who actually went up the mountain roads, even here, to get that on.
Yeah, no
doubt.
It
wasn't easy, and it still isn't easy going up the mountains.
I bet. Golly.
And so I thought that was very interesting how we came to get barbed wire. A lot of people invented different kinds and had to finally settle on a couple of kinds that really worked.
Yeah, yeah. I have a whole new appreciation now for barbed wire.
I thought you would after hearing about this.
Yeah, no doubt. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
So we've talked about all the wonderful advantages of a life settlement as a way to grow your investment and retire for, you know, grow your money to retire. What are the three risks? I know we kind of touched on one of them earlier, that the policy may go over and you may have to pay the premiums.
That is the biggest risk. You have to be prepared for it. If you can't afford for it to go over, this is not the right investment. Because you have to know. You're going to have so many come in early, so many on time, but there will be some that goes over. And you have to be ready and understand that you're going to have to wait on that particular policy for another year or maybe 2 years. So you have to say, okay, I can stand that. I can stand the $500 premium call or $1,000 or $1,500, whatever it is. You have to be able to stand that. If you can't, I've probably already checked you and know whether you can or not. Because I tell these people this up front. This can happen and it may happen. Then the second risk is, remember, when I put you in 5 or 10 policies, that money is not available until it matures. Each one has to mature and you get paid. Now, once it's back in your account, if you need the money, you can take it. But, you know, I found, and I guess I forgot to tell someone this, and he's probably listening this morning, but I'm not going to mention his name. Sometimes people want to do nice things for another member of the family. So sometimes someone nice, like a husband, will say, you know, I've got this much in my IRA. I'll just give that to my wife, and she can put it in hers. Well, do you know what that does immediately?
What?
Once you take money out of your IRA, you owe the taxes on it.
Uh-oh.
You can't do that. You can give her regular money, and you'd have to pay tax on it anyway. But don't give her money out of your IRA. That tax is due now.
Whoops.
Yeah, right. So there's a way to do it, but don't do it that way, okay?
All right.
So always ask me when you're fixing to do something like that, where we can see if it's the right thing to do.
All right, because we want to avoid taxes at all costs. That's unnecessary until later on.
Remember, you don't have to take it out till 76 and a half.
Okay, so the policy could go over. It's not liquid, and what's the third risk?
The third is a life insurance company could go under, and it would take you longer to get your money. You would still get it. We've never had anybody not get their money. We've never had a life insurance company go under, you know? So, in Texas, we've never had this happen, but we always have to tell you about it. But the companies we use are huge, and they're A and AA rated, and they have billions, so we're not worried about that. I would think your biggest risk is it goes over, okay?
And it's a relatively small risk. I mean, if you have to pay the premiums, you have to pay the premiums, but it's a very small percentage of your profit. So you're still going to make most of your investment profit. So if you're at $100,000 and it's a 24-month policy and you have to pay $500, okay, your profit's going to be $23,500 instead of $24,000.
That's right. So it's not going to hurt you at all. And, of course, we've got a lot of them lately that the premiums are very small.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, we had some people that came into my office this week that last year in November they sent in their premiums. They were never credited. But see, I'd already paid the premiums, so it should have come back into our account. But they wondered and wondered why they never cashed their checks. We still don't know. So if this happens, call us immediately, and let's find out where your money went.
Yeah.
It was in the holidays, and I think that that mail was just lost.
Yeah.
But it didn't affect them because we'd already paid it.
Okay, cool. So they were still free and clear, and they were good to go.
They were still free and clear, but we had to make it up. You know, had to get them to go ahead and pay that because our books won't match.
Mm-hmm.
So they did, and we just put it on a credit card, which we were able to do.
Okay.
So, you know, everything happens to everybody. And once we have something happen, I always want everybody else to know how to avoid it.
Yeah, you learn from the situation and say, okay, going forward, if this happens, do this, and we'll be fine.
That's exactly right, because we want to be sure and do it. And we want them to always have credit on all their premiums or whatever it is.
So one last thing before you go, we talked about, you know, being accredited. So what if somebody is not accredited? We talked about there are other options, so people don't have to give up and just, you know, decide, well, I'm never going to make it, so I'm just never going to retire. There are other options besides life settlements.
That's right. And the other option is an annuity. And we call it a fixed annuity. The reason it's called that is if you're in the stock market, you can get a variable annuity. A variable annuity has mutual funds in it. This has no mutual funds in it, has no stocks in it. So it's a safer investment than the other type of annuity. These annuities pay good money. I think it's every 10 years that they will double. They don't double as fast as other things. But they're good, they're solid, you can't outlive the income, and you have income the rest of your life.
Okay, so there's lots of things to do. Somebody basically just needs to come in, sit down and talk to you, tell you their situation. Here's where I'm at, here's where I want to be at, here's where I qualify, here's my assets, here's, you know, what I've got for 401k. And you'll sit down and look at all this and decide, you know, with the investor, which way is the best for them.
Yes, we will go over it. We always, you know, work on these things, see what we really need to do to help them, okay?
Okay. So, Faye, one last time for people to come by and make an appointment for next week to come see you, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. And if they're lost, you know, it's just off of the loop, and you make a right on Big Spring. It's just about half a mile.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.